Cirrus offers a mixed message about the economy. NetJets may follow a terrible 2009 with a slightly profitable 2010. And AOPA Summit was down, but not out. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, November 13th, 2009. Cirrus Aircraft CEO Brent Wouters has memoed employees, saying he's optimistic about 2010. But at least 50 employees in Duluth are trying to reconcile that statement with the layoff notices they got this week. In the memo, Wouters credited his optimism to fixed costs that have dropped 50%, inventory levels down 58%, liabilities which have dropped 15%, and earnings which are up 65% over March of this year on the same number of airplanes delivered. Quote, "All these measures illustrate that our business continues to strengthen as we emphasize the customer and product innovation," unquote. But at the same time, Duluth area TV stations are reporting that Cirrus sent out more than 50 furlough notices this week, most of them in the manufacturing area, and owes the city of Duluth back rent of $250,000. Wouters responded that the furloughs were in anticipation of a slow first quarter and that he hoped to be able to recall those workers in the future. He also said Cirrus arranged in advance with the city to defer rent payments on its now empty hangar in order to avoid further layoffs. Quote, "And our intention is to make that payment as soon as we have available cash to do so, and we are entering that period now," unquote. After losing more than $500 million in the first 9 months of 2009, NetJets, a company owned by Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway, says it may see a modest profit in 2010. Bloomberg reports that U.S. firms may turn to fractional ownership in companies like NetJets as the economy recovers. Meyer Shields, an analyst with Stifel Nicholas & Company, said, quote, "This is an elaborate form of taxi, and that's seen as less piggish. There are times when you've got to get to four different cities over the course of a day and you need a jet," unquote. In its November 6th filing, Berkshire said NetJets is likely to operate at a modest profit in 2010, absent any further deterioration in the U.S. economy or negative actions directed at the ownership of private aircraft, unquote. But the report warned that further downsizing might be needed to reach that goal. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association planned for 10,000 guests at AOPA Summit in Tampa last week, and despite a down economy, counted almost 7,300 through the turnstiles. The name change from AOPA Expo to AOPA Summit was received less than enthusiastically by many attendees who spoke with ANN. But AOPA President Craig Fuller explains, quote, "There was a strong sense that the entire GA community had come together to address the issues we face. Everyone involved, including the many industry leaders and government decision makers I spoke with, indicated a desire to help grow and strengthen GA. Now, AOPA will work with the rest of the industry to carry that momentum forward as we prepare for the challenges and opportunities of the new year," unquote. You can hear the concluding segment of Jim Campbell's in-depth interview with Craig Fuller in today's Aero News special feature. AOPA says more than 1,000 aircraft were flown into Tampa last week, specifically for the event. The National Air Transportation Association wrapped up its 2009 Aviation Business Roundtable Monday after 2 days of high-level meetings with some of Washington, D.C.'s influential policymakers. More than 65 aviation business leaders met with key political, policy, and financial experts to discuss a number of critical issues affecting the aviation community, including the economy, taxes, safety, security, and the impact recent elections will have for the 2010 midterm elections. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt was candid in addressing NATA concerns about the FAA's inconsistent interpretation of regulations among its regional offices. He said that while the problem is vast, quote, "consistency with regulations should be addressed so safety is not compromised," unquote. NATA President James Coyne introduced West Virginia Governor Joe Manchin as an enthusiastic pilot who understands the value of aviation to his state and to the national economy. Manchin made a plea for aviation business leaders to, quote, "tell your story before other people tell your story for you," unquote. Richard Santulli was given the very first NATA President's Award for his work as a pioneer in fractional aviation as the founder and former president of NetJets. Coyne summed up the event by saying it, quote, "provided an important forum for business leaders to interact with well-connected speakers to understand what their options are as they make plans for 2010," unquote. Up next on ANN, Dan Grider is in jail and has been suspended from his day job at Delta. A vintage Warbird transferred to the CAF in 1966 is being taken back by the Air Force Museum. And the FAA has issued a safety bulletin covering hundreds of thousands of aircraft. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 13th. I'm Paul Plack. If you've booked any upcoming time with Dan Grider to work on your DC-3 type rating, well, let's just say you might want to call ahead and confirm your arrangements. WSB-TV in Atlanta reports Grider is in the Spalding County Jail in Georgia, charged with two counts of aggravated assault and one count of obstruction of an officer following a confrontation with local law enforcement at Griffin Spalding Airport on Wednesday. Officers with the City of Griffin Code Enforcement Department say they were called to the airport over reports of someone driving a car on the runways and taxiways. When they came looking for Grider, they say he at first denied knowing such a person. When the officers figured out it was Grider they were talking to, they say he boarded his DC-3 after threatening to hit a patrol car with a plane and nearly made good on the threat. The code enforcement officer called for backup. But after taxiing out, Grider stopped the plane and reportedly demanded a fuel truck be sent to him. By then, Griffin police and Spalding County deputies had arrived, were not amused, and were having no part of helping him take off. Investigator Brian Clanton told WSB that Grider then returned the plane to the parking area, quote, then started walking towards his truck nonchalantly. It appears that he thought he would simply drive away, but he was arrested. His actions created a danger for all of our officers, himself, and others who lawfully use the airport. He essentially shut the airport down for almost 45 minutes, unquote. Grider is also a pilot for Delta Airlines, which announced yesterday he's been suspended pending completion of the investigation. There's no word yet on FAA action. I've enjoyed interviewing Dan in the past, thoroughly enjoyed his DC-3 newsletter, and even appreciated his considerable skill with a banjo. I don't know exactly what to make of this story, but stay tuned. The Commemorative Air Force has lost its bid to retain a P-82 Twin Mustang in federal court. The Warbird Restoration Group had a donation certificate issued in 1966, transferring physical possession of the aircraft. That allowed the CAF to establish title and FAA certification and license for operation. Now, the National Museum of the United States Air Force has demanded the plane's return. The P-82 was not in flying condition following an accident in 1987, and CAF had been searching within its membership for somebody willing to restore the bird. Given the way things turned out, maybe it's a good thing nobody spent too much time or money on the effort. Of the unfavorable court decision, CAF President Stephen Brown commented, quote, although the USAFM does not support the CAF's mission to keep them flying, we are honored to support the mission of the U.S. Air Force. We hope that they will come to see the benefit the CAF and all Warbird organizations bring to their recruiting and preservation efforts, unquote. The FAA has issued a particularly broad SAIB, or Special Airworthiness Information Bulletin, in this case affecting all piston aircraft using float-style carburetors, regardless of age or manufacturer. That's a lot of aircraft. The FAA says that in response to numerous accidents and incidents over the past 20 years, resulting from engine stoppage or fire involving float-type carburetors, numerous service information letters and service bulletins have been issued, but the incidents and accidents just keep on coming, often due to fuel leaking into the carburetor float, a damaged or worn float, or a damaged or worn float valve. The SAIB says pilots should examine the engine area for evidence of fuel leakage during preflight and be alert for carburetor flooding or the need for excessive leaning during engine start. It adds that excessive fuel consumption and poor idle performance or difficulty shutting down the engine with a mixture cutoff control might be an indicator of a deteriorating or damaged carb float. Still ahead, the Atlantis countdown begins at 1 p.m. this afternoon. The ACLU gets the TSA to rein it in a notch. And Vought prepares to start drop testing the F-35. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, the 13th of November. I'm Paul Plack. NASA will officially begin the launch countdown for the shuttle Atlantis at 1 p.m. today, hoping it culminates in a scheduled launch at 2:28 p.m. Eastern Time on Monday. The 11-day mission will deliver cargo to the International Space Station. The Transportation Security Administration has quietly changed its internal rules about so-called fishing expeditions for non-security-related matters at airport checkpoints. In response, the American Civil Liberties Union has dropped a lawsuit filed over the treatment of a Ron Paul campaign staffer who was hassled by screeners for trying to bring $4,700 in cash onto an airliner following a fundraiser. The Washington Times reports that Steve Bierfeldt questioned under what authority TSA detained him for carrying the cash at Lambert St. Louis International Airport. At one point, a TSA officer asked Bierfeldt, "Are you from this planet?" and accused him of acting like a child for questioning his authority. Bierfeldt captured the entire encounter on his iPhone. TSA spokeswoman Lauren Gatches tells the paper the new internal directives stipulate that TSA may not question why someone is carrying large amounts of cash through the airport, and that screening, quote, may not be conducted to detect evidence of crimes unrelated to transportation security, unquote. The second directive says traveling with large amounts of cash is not illegal. TSA reportedly refused to release the actual text of its new guidance unless faced with a Freedom of Information Act request. When TSA issued badges and uniforms similar to those of police, there were those who expressed the concern that screeners would come to view themselves as law enforcement officers. Bierfeldt just managed to get a recording of it when it actually happened. And finally today, Vought Aircraft Industries has taken possession of an F-35C Lightning II Joint Strike Fighter from Lockheed Martin for the express purpose of performing full-scale drop testing. The tests will verify the strength of the F-35C Navy variant's landing gear and airframe for carrier landing operations. Actual drop testing is expected to start in January and continue through April at the Vought Structures Test Lab in Dallas, Texas. Over 500 channels of data and special slow-motion cameras will document all the testing. Each F-35 is worth about $85 million U.S. You know, I don't feel so bad now about dropping my cell phone. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, it's the second and concluding part of Jim Campbell's interview with AOPA President Craig Fuller. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.